The Chancellor. I've been waiting to play a little Wyoming ragtime cowboy Joe for a long time. Great to have you with us here on the campus of LCMSU, and a happy new year, church year that is, to one and all as we enter the season of Advent together. Welcome to the Student Union, Pastor Mark Preuss. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Absolutely. You freezing up there in Laramie, Wyoming?
Yeah, it's in the balmy 20s right now. So,
you know, Pastor Preuss, just to introduce Pastor Preuss to everyone, for those of you who don't know, he's a graduate at one of our LCMSU chapters at University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. Got his bachelor's degree at the University of Minnesota. And had Pastor David Kind, we had on the program a couple weeks ago to talk about his devotional book. Had him as a campus pastor. You got your Master Divinity at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, an MA in Classics, because that just wasn't enough school, right? In Greek and Latin at the University of Kansas, and then you served for 4 years or so down in the Wiley Plano, Texas. And you and I have a couple of things in common. Two of which are that we were both campus ministry vicars at Norman, Oklahoma, at the University of Oklahoma. And, of course, I was privileged to serve as the pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, serving students at the University of Wyoming, where you have been for the last, 15 months or so. Is that right?
Yeah, about that.
And so, anyways, great to have you on here all the way from Laradice. I have to admit, ever since we moved to Albuquerque, my wife and I almost every day check the temperature difference between Laramie and Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, sometimes it's actually warmer up there, believe it or not. Maybe two times out of 365. But and then usually it's about 25 degrees difference, but. Anyways, great to have you with us. You have two distinctions. You may not know this. You are the first Preuss that I have had here in the Student Union, which is saying a lot because there's like thousands of you. And you are the first person that almost got me kicked out of our conference hotel at one of our LCMSU conferences for throwing a tennis ball around and having it lie in a huge pot of nacho cheese where it was being served. I just thought I would mention that. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah. I don't think it affected the flavor at all. I hope not.
Well, and if any of the peach fuzz of the ball kind of wore off, it was yellow anyways, right? So anyways, no.
Who knows what was in that cheese anyway?
All right. Okay, let's move on. So tell everybody what's up. You know, you've been a campus pastor there for a year and a half or a year and a quarter or whatever. You've gone through a year. What's a typical week look like at St. Andrew's in Laramie?
Well, I mean, obviously the high point of the week is the divine service on Sunday morning. And we use the liturgy and sing good Lutheran hymns. It's really wonderful to see so many students gather together from lots of different backgrounds. Some have grown up Lutherans, some are becoming Lutherans, some are just looking and seeing who are the Lutherans. And then we have a bunch of events through the week, depending on the week. A couple times a month we have Theology on Tap. We actually have that today, where we go together and meet at a tavern and talk about different topics. So this week, or this semester, we've been talking about the theme of things people think are Christian but aren't. And today we're going to talk about I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, as one of those things. Mm-hmm. We have Bible classes, so tomorrow I'm teaching a Bible class on baptism. And then we have a lot of adult instruction going on for people who either want to refresh what they learned in catechism class or are looking to become Lutheran. And we have about five or six non-Lutherans taking the class right now and a bunch of Lutherans. So it's kind of nice. And then the other high point of the week is evening prayer. That's on Thursday nights where we get together and sing evening prayer or Vespers or Compline. And the choir sings often, and we usually do, as you called it, spontaneous shenanigans? Planned spontaneity. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be awesome. You got to skip.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and we have, besides that, there's a lot of study that goes on. Several of the students like to study at our center and have made friends, and we just got our pool table refelted. So we're having some pool tournaments going on, and we also have some pretty fun things that we do. We're going to go this Saturday and hunt our Christmas tree.
Okay, now, I had heard this rumor. Is that true? You guys go up and shoot a Christmas tree? This is the craziest and perhaps stupidest thing I've ever heard.
This is your idea.
What? No. What do you mean you go up and shoot down a tree?
Yeah, we go up into the snowy mountains, and last year we had like 20 people and 10 guns, and we all take turns shooting the tree until it falls down. But this year we're banning shotgun slugs because it just makes it happen too fast, and we want to have more fun. So
yeah, it's always important to kill trees slowly.
Anyway, it's fun. We go and we hunt and look for a Christmas tree, and we drag it back down here and decorate it, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, I don't know. So, you noticed last year that there are shotgun shell ornaments on the tree, right?
I don't know if I saw any of those. We'll have to make some new ones.
Yeah. Speaking of shooting, I had heard a rumor that there's a vacancy down at the University of Colorado at ULC in Boulder. Nobody's heard from Pastor Burhop, and I heard a rumor that you may have shot him in the face or something. You know, what happened?
It was in the head. But,
you shot him in the head.
I suppose the face is the head, but it wasn't but it was with a paintball, and that was last year.
Paintball. Okay, so that's not why they have a vacancy. He moved on to Michigan, but what do you guys do with the students at Boulder to where you're shooting their pastor in the head with a paintball?
We're the border war. There's a paintball course at right on the border of Colorado and Wyoming, and we have a border war. And there's a trophy. It's a, I don't know who did this, but it's a bronzed Luther bobblehead, and we are, for 2 years in a row, we have held on to the trophy.
Okay. Awesome.
And we even, and the loser actually, or second place, gets a bronzed bobblehead of the Pope.
Oh, so, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I know what happened. I know who developed the trophy. I had bought the bobblehead, and somehow I decapitated it unknowingly. And my wife took it, Bethany, bless her heart, and figured out how to glue it back on, and it just wasn't the same. And so I had heard about some of the other trophy awards for other places. And, of course, the CSU-Wyoming football rivalry is called the Battle for the Bronze Boot. And so that's
why
we decided to do that, because then it doesn't really bobble, right? But his head is still on straight. So
it bobbles again.
It does. So, excellent.
It bobbles.
And the last thing, these rivalries are great. And of course, yes, children, we want you to be careful if you go out and shoot down your Christmas tree. And, you know, it's important to point out that, yeah, it's a little scary when you have 15, 20 people going up and they're shooting Christmas tree. It was all legal. Everything's legal. But it's great fun. It started because, I was like, hey, we always say we're going up to hunt down a tree, but you don't use a chainsaw to hunt, you use guns. And so that's kind of how that thing started. I'm glad you're continuing. Just be careful if you're doing this. And it's good to have people around that are well-trained in what to do. But you guys have you're still using the membership at the local shooting range for fun events, aren't you?
Yeah, we just used it a couple weeks ago.
You know, it's great to do that before or after a voters meeting. Have everybody go out to the shooting range, get out all their aggression, then check their guns.
I don't know if I would feel safe.
Now, I just noticed online that it is cold in Laredice, everyone. And you are, what is it you're putting in your backyard? Tell us about this real quick.
It's just that it's an ice rink. We have a couple of students who know how to make ice rinks. And so we have it's about 35 by 25 feet. And we're hoping that it'll work, but it takes a lot of work, actually.
And you're not actually putting in the, I mean, you're not putting in physical boards and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's dirt cheap. I mean, the most expensive thing is the water. Okay. All you have to do is if you have snow, you pack it down and then you make a wall, you make walls. And there's, you know, I used to have my backyard, so there's a little incline there. So on the bottom of the yard, we have to put a big wall of snow there. And then we ice that up so that it becomes a solid wall and stops the water from soaking out. And then you just spray it and spray it and spray it when it's freezing out. And gradually all the bumps go away. And I even have a student who's going to make me my own hand-rolled Zamboni so I can smooth the ice out. And it's for my kids primarily because I want them to look forward to winter and have fun in the wintertime. But we're also going to have a Christmas party at my house next Friday, and all the students are invited to bring their skates. And
That's awesome.
I'll try to make it romantic and play some Elton John, Lion King music, and maybe we can get some students to maybe fall in love.
Yeah, matchmaking is always important in campus ministry.
I'm awful at it. I don't know why they called me here.
Well, today we always record these interviews a little bit early, and we're about two days out. That's November 30th. It is the Festival of St. Andrew's Day, which marks the beginning of Advent. We just had Advent 1 this last Sunday, and Pastor Preuss has a wonderful hobby, that of doing writing poetry and writing hymnody. And I thought we would have him on the program today here in the Student Union to talk about one of the hymns that most of us probably heard this last week, or maybe we'll hear shortly, and that is, "O Lord, how shall I meet you?" But first, real quick, how have you always been interested in poetry and writing hymnody? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up singing Lutheran hymns around the dinner table and before bed. And so my dad taught us a lot of hymns, and a lot of which weren't even in the hymnal because they were Norwegian hymns, and the Germans are racist against Norwegians and keep them out of their hymnals. But
hey, I want you to know I married a full-blooded Norwegian, just saying.
That's great. I'm glad that.
But the German hymns are still better, but go ahead.
Do you know what you get when you cross a German with
this
a Norwegian?
This is a family program, Pastor Preuss. Just remember.
I know.
Okay, go ahead. What?
So, somebody who wants to take over the world without hurting anybody's feelings. So.
Oh, boy.
That's one of my favorite jokes, but yeah, anyway, we send hymns around the dinner table, and I have 10 brothers and a sister, and we would all sing, and so it was kind of strange to me. I didn't really notice it until I got to high school and college that a lot of people just didn't sing hymns, so I became very interested in hymnody and making people love it and learn the beauty of it. And it was when I was in Germany, I was a foreign exchange student when I was 16, 17 in Germany, that I was living with my host parents, who weren't Christians. And, I was alone, and I would go on walks and sing these hymns that my parents had taught me. Because when I was going to church, I didn't understand German until over halfway through the year. So what I did was I clung to those hymns, and I realized the tremendous value of them. And for that reason, I'm a very staunch defender of using good Lutheran hymns and teaching them to people. And I've never, whenever I teach them to people, they always enjoy them and they prefer them to anything else that non-Lutherans have to offer for worship.
Well,
so
I mean, the substance is just, in fact, one year before I even came to Laramie, I taught an entire year of confirmation instruction primarily using the hymnal. I mean, it's such a wonderful thing that you look at the hymnody, the liturgy of the church, you know, it should reinforce and teach the faith. And O Lord, how shall I meet you is, for those of you that might have a hymnal handy, it's Lutheran Service Book 334, If you don't have that, you have TLH 58 Lutheran. Well, we won't mention Lutheran worship because you shouldn't have one of those anyways. By the way, did I ever bet you? Did you know that we had a burning of the Lutheran worship party? When we hosted the past, I should say this. Someone got fired. Hopefully, my boss isn't listening to this. There's a lot. There were several, or at least a few wonderful things about the Lutheran worship. Just not much more than that. But it wasn't the best of our hymnals, and we had the pastors' conference there. I don't know. It must have been 5 years ago, and we had in Laramie the fire pits are like a weekly occurrence, if not more, we made all the pastors pick up an old, we didn't never knew what to do with all of our old copies of Lutheran worship. So we, in order to gain entrance to the Gemütlichkeit, they had to throw one of the copies of our old Lutheran worship hymnals onto the fire. So it was a bit
tight.
Pastor, we found a copy of LW. May we burn it? But anyways, let's get right into this. So tell us about, you know, who wrote this hymn, "O Lord, How Shall I Meet You?" Who wrote it? A little bit about his background, the tune. What can you tell us about it?
Well, Paul Gerhardt lived, he was born in 1607. And he grew up during the 30 Years' War, which was a very tumultuous time in Germany. And also lived through plagues, and his own life, most of his hymns were actually written before this happened, but his own life was very much plagued with sorrow. He had five children and a wife, and in 14 years he lost his wife and four of his children. So he just had one child when he died. But he was also educated in a Lutheran school from a young age, in Latin and Greek and Hebrew. And so he studied, one of the things that they studied is poetry. And he also grew up in a period of Baroque poetry, which was a more refined poetry than that which Luther and Sporatus, for example, he wrote Salvation Unto Us Has Come, wrote. They wrote in a more, it was just more choppy, not as fluid. And so he wrote very lovely poetry, and grew up doing it. Yeah, I think he has about 120 hymns. Mm. And he also, what brought him into the limelight, so to speak, was his relationship with a guy named John Kruger, who John Kruger wrote this book on the Praxis Pietatis, something like that, the melodic practice of piety. And he included a lot of Paul Gerhardt's hymns in there and wrote tunes for them. So John Kruger is another guy who's he's amazing. He wrote the tune for Solo Don, Adorn Yourself with Gladness, Lord, to You I Make Confession, Jesus, Priceless Treasure, and also the tune for this hymn, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You? And so that made him popular. And there's some interesting things about him. Like some of the last two hymns that he wrote were a hymn on baptism and the Lord's Supper. We have, I think, 6 of the 10 stanzas of his baptism hymn in LSB that John Vicar translated. And he bequeathed these two hymns to his congregation when he was fired by the prince or elector of Brandenburg, because he had ordered that you could no longer preach against Calvinism. And Gerhardt was accustomed to talking about his beloved formula, because he cherished the formula of Concord so much. He was a confessional Lutheran. And he was very familiar with a lot of Lutheran writing, and which is also this hymn, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You, shows a thorough familiarity, not only with the text, Matthew 21, the Christ coming as a king, but also the interpretation of it as given by, for example, Martin Luther in his House and Church Apostles on the first Sunday of Advent.
Okay.
So Luther talks about how this king comes and what needs to be, you know, how do we meet him? What kind of a king is he? How should we react? And Gerhardt goes and just does this amazing meditation on what it means for Christ to come.
Well,
and this is why
we have about, just so you know, we have about 4.5, 5 minutes here. So all right, why don't you walk us through it a little bit?
So the whole Advent means coming. Christ came, he is coming now, and he will come again. And this hymn talks about all three Advents, how Christ came, how he's coming now, and how he's coming again. So it has 10 stanzas. I think there are 6 in the LSB, even though it says 7. It's one of the few errors in the hymnal. But, O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you will write? Your people long to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O kindle, Lord, most holy, your lamp within my breast, to do in spirit lowly all that may please you best. Your Zion strews before you green boughs and fairest palms, and I too will adore you with joyous songs and psalms. My heart will bloom forever for you with praises new, and from your name shall never withhold the honor due. So here you have Christ's people. This is a reference to the Palm Sunday Christ procession into Jerusalem, with the people laying down their palms and singing Hosanna. And he puts himself in their place. And then he talks about how Christ came in verse 3, which isn't in our hymnal. It goes, what have you left ungranted to give me glad relief when soul and body panted in utmost depth of grief and deepest degradation, devoid of joy and peace? Then you, my soul's salvation, came down to bring release. And then this is a beautiful thing. So that's a reference to Christ's first coming. Mm-hmm. What he does is he mingles the first coming and how he comes to us today through the gospel and sacraments. He says, I lay in fetters groaning, you come to set me free. And the German says, du kommst. It's in the present tense. And TLH had it in the present tense, but LSB changed it to the past tense. But in the next hymnal, we're going to change it back to the present tense. Because it's that I lay in fetters groaning, you come to set me free. That is, he comes even now to set me free. Mm-hmm. And I stood my shame bemoaning, you come to honor me. A glorious crown you give me, a treasure safe on high that will not fail or leave me as earthly riches fly. Now, verse 5 is kind of a loose translation, but generally references the Christ's first coming again. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace and love all love excelling our lost and fallen race. So that's everything is grounded on the work of Christ, how Christ first came. And the basis for him knowing that Christ now comes to him today is that he did this in the past. That's what's so beautiful about it. And so then he says, well, if this is the case, and this is typical of Gerhard, he does this in his Christmas hymns too. He says, rejoice then, you sad hearted, who sit in deepest gloom, who mourn over joys departed and tremble at your doom. Despair not, he is near you, now standing at your door, who best can help and cheer you and bids you weep no more. So you see how he says, Christ is now coming. He is near you. He is coming. And then the big question is, well, how does he come? How do I get him to come? You know, and this is a big question of free will. Well, he teaches the Lutheran doctrine on the freedom of the will or the bondage of the will. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit is calling me by the gospel. He teaches that in this verse that also isn't an LSB. You do not need, sorry.
Just so you know, we got about a minute left here of the program. So
okay, this is the best verse. Okay. You do not need to bother or wonder day and night how you can bring your brother by your weak strength and might. He comes all willing, moved by his love alone, your fears and troubles stilling, for all to him are known. So he's moved by, he comes. You don't draw him. He comes to you. And that's where, and then he ends the hymn by talking about he comes to judge the nations. That is, he will come again. And so he brings it all together, which makes this the most, probably the best Advent hymn that I know of.
Especially for the first Sunday in Advent.
Especially for the first Sunday. You compare it to other kind of thematic hymns about Advent, and this one just takes the cake. And Savior of the Nations Come is fantastic, an excellent hymn, but this deals more with the overall theme of all of Advent. And
that is fantastic, Pastor Preuss. And just listening to you read the verses, we can see how much you love the poetry and the words, the words of doctrine or life, because they're rooted in Christ. And we appreciate the fact that you took time out today to share that with us. So thank you for being with us, and God bless your preaching in Advent, and have a blessed Christmas, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, take care. it's a great time of the year. The classes are winding down and the festival half of the church year is winding up. Have an awesome season of Advent as you prepare to receive the one, Jesus Christ, who has come, who is coming to you even now and will come again for you. And take time to learn the hymns of the church. Remember, wherever you are always welcome here. Because college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.